Okay, more about Jesus, I would know. So we'd learn a little bit, maybe at this point, about the generosity of Christ. And when we go into the generosity of Christ, we go into the area of His compassion, His mercy, and His grace extended to human beings. Most of us are probably human beings, so we need it. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank You for Your goodness and thank You for the anointing of Your Spirit upon our hearts to hear from God. And now again, would You bless us as we're so needy, poor and needy. David says, and it seems like that You would pour Your grace out upon us the more we see we are poor and needy. And so, Holy Spirit, minister to us at this time. The Lord Jesus Christ, open up our hearts to understand. Set us free from anything that might have captured us. We thank You that You're omnipotent, and we thank You that You're our friend. And now we thank You that You will try to share with us a little bit of Your heart of compassion and caring in the area of our needs. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I already read you the passage, so I'm ahead. The story about the 10 lepers is going to be our text, Luke 17, 11 through 19, how they came seeking Jesus and saying, Master, have mercy on us, and He did. And He told them to go show themselves to the priests, and as they're going, they realize they're cleansed, and one of them turns back. So let's see if the Lord can teach us some things about this. And that also in this area, there's the area, actually I shared this about Thanksgiving last fall, and 11/18, November 18, 2018. So you're going to get either a late Thanksgiving message or an early one, however it works. But we should be thankful. Look forward with praise, and you will be able to look backward with joy. Look upward with thanksgiving, and you will be able to look around with gratitude. Somebody said that. I don't know who it was. I was just looking in your songbook to see if you had that song, I Gave My Life for Thee. A pretty good little song, just putting into song the sort of the words that's not actually the words of Christ. And someone said, if you have love for Jesus, it will find an outlet. In other words, love for Jesus just doesn't stay in our heart. It just goes out. And so Jesus expressed the love of God by sharing it out. Peter C. Brooks, he said, of all the ways of disposing of money, giving it away is the most satisfactory. It's just really good. I remember one time I was standing in the lobby of a fancy motel. Some friends had taken us, and they would do this every now and then, just take us and get us away and for a couple, 3 days. And I'm standing there, and I'm about as poor as a church mouse, and got all these rich people coming around and everything. And it's just like, I don't need nothing. I've got Jesus. I don't have to have all their money or anybody's money. The Lord will take care because He cares for us. And a little funny story one time, we were, I think on our 35th or 25th anniversary, I can't know where it was, we went down to a lodge down south of Branson, and I'm looking in the parking lot, and we got our old Chevy there. And I'm looking at these Cadillacs, the BMWs, and here's the humor of God. I said, Lord, You can give me a Cadillac. Did I tell you all that story? Probably did. Anyway, I got home and came running down off the deck, the stairs. One of my daughters has a phone in her hand. And she hands it to me. This guy says, I'm going to give you a Cadillac. You know, you just got to be more careful with God. It was a 1983 Cadillac with 260,000 miles. And from the day I got it, it went downhill. The first thing that went out was the air conditioning, and then you had a window that don't work. I couldn't get rid of that thing fast enough. God said, you said I could give you a Cadillac, and I gave you one. I'll be more specific next time. But God really does care. He's got a sense of humor to us. I think I was able to sell it for $400. I don't even think I got paid all the money. Might have got a couple hundred out of it. Some people needed a car. God is really interesting person. And so let's see if he can teach us something about, I'm going to break this into two parts, probably giving and then thanks. And let's see if God can teach us something. He did say it's more blessed to give than receive, Jesus did. So a lot of people want to be blessed, but they don't want to follow the procedure of being a giver. And it's sometimes really humbling to receive. That's a lesson I've had to learn, just to receive it. And sometimes God might give you something you don't need, but somebody else does. And you're just a channel to pass it off. Someone said, charity ends where selfishness begins. And so selfishness would be dives in his mansion, and then outside the gate is some poor starving Lazarus, hungry at the gate. But God flip-flops things. And so dives is outside, and Lazarus is in the bosom of Jesus. I've got a pastor, not a pastor friend of mine, he's a doctor friend of mine. I've got, I think, about three friends that are doctors, and I was talking to one of them the other day, and he's a man mightily used of God. He's got this really interesting technique for helping people out. They come in with a strange problem or whatever, and he has people come from around the country, and some famous people sometimes, but I know his secret. He goes back into his office, he says, okay, God, you got to give me a clue. And he is amazing. He just walks with God. And I was talking with him the other day, and he says, I don't know why God used me. And sometimes he'll go down into Brazil or some of these countries and do his doctrine. And he says he's just seen so many people just get saved because he's always talking about the Lord and sharing them. And he said this the other day. He said, I don't know why God used me. I'm just a peon. And I wrote back, yeah, we're all zeros. But if we want to add something to the zero, then it just doesn't work. God uses nobodies and uses zeros. And that's why God can use him like that. He's a wonderful friend. And he's across the river from where I was raised. The importance of thanks, the importance of being generous, the importance of cash, being compassionate. We're going to see if we can learn something from the Lord. Psalms 103:2, bless the Lord, O my soul, forget not all his benefits. Someone said this, have you ever thought that every misery you haven't gotten is a mercy you have gotten from God? Every misery you haven't gotten is a mercy from God. Well, out of seven references to Christ, and I don't know how accurate this is, of Christ giving thanks, they either have to do with food and feeding or either his dying. In the communion time with the disciples, he given thanks for his own death. Grateful to serve the Father in that capacity. Christ, generous sacrifice to give thanks for that. Luke records thanks at the Last Supper and the other disciples too. But basically, I think what the Lord has given thanks for, we don't like the pain, we don't like the bleeding, we don't like spears jabbed into us when we're dead, much less thorns in our brow and lashes on us. But I think what he was giving thankful for is that fellowship was going to be restored from the Father to us again. It's going to finally be taken care of. All them thousands of years from the garden up to that point on the cross, he is grateful it's going to get fixed. Some of us have had times when we needed to be fixed. And God is the fixer. I haven't quoted my little ditty for a while, have I? Remember, God is fixing to fix you with the fix that you're in. But if you try to fix the fix that you're in, He'll find another fix to fix you with. God's the fixer. And some every now and then you run across somebody who think they're the fixer for everybody else, and they probably need more fixing than anybody. You have to sort of watch out for those guys. Okay, so fellowship is going to be restored. And he's thankful for that. It's an amazing thing of God. Just to go into a little theology on this, what his death is going to do, it's going to be a vicarious death, taking the place of us, and that's why he's giving thanks, just like this Civil War soldier that had somebody else die for him as a substitute. Matter of fact, that happened. The guy had a substitute go in, substitute got killed, and they called him up again. He said, "I'm dead, you can't." Now look, see, there's my name, and well, you're alive, we're going to send you back. He said, "No, you can't do that," and they actually went to the law on that. And so he made his plea, and the thing was, no criminal can be hanged a second time. One death is all the law requires. And so they couldn't do it. He was already dead because of his substitute. And he lived because his substitute died for him. And that's the principle of the gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. It was a vicarious death. He died in our place. That's why we love him. And then let me tell you something else about the sacrifice of Christ. It satisfied God. And if it satisfies you, you will receive Christ as your Savior. God was satisfied. Jesus said, "It's finished. There's nothing else you can do except believe it." Believe it. And even praying a prayer doesn't always do it, because the prayer is not in belief. But believe it. And so it satisfied God. It satisfied the justice of God. It satisfied the law of God. And then the next thing is, does it satisfy you? This is what God did for us. And so his death was a propitiation, meaning that Christ, it was a mercy seat. Christ was the offering and he was the priest. He did it all for us. And that was what we call an atonement. And he redeemed us. Well, let's see if there's anything we can learn on the generosity of Christ. Here he is. He's healed these 10 lepers. Do we want to be like Jesus? Well, being like Jesus also includes a lot of people being ungrateful to us, and maybe not giving us the thanks that we deserve or whatever. I'm going to share a little story with you in a little bit about that. It's an amazing story. You'd think, surely that didn't happen. But it did happen, and it probably goes all over the place. Well, Jesus said, "Were there not 10 cleansed, but where are the 9? And so we can begin to go into a little bit of the heart of God, that God feels. He feels. Now, in the spiritual gifting of the body of Christ, there's some of us that are feelers. We're real sensitive to what people are feeling. I'm not really that sensitive. Some of us would have more of a spirit of discernment. Maybe a prophet type spirit. But Jesus had all of it, of course. But we need each other. I need my wife because she's a real feeler. And I'm not. Some of us are really logical thinking, and some of us are more emotional, whatever. But Jesus felt the ungratefulness of the other 9. He was grateful for the one that came back. And he did say that he was completely healed. And so others got a physical healing, but they maybe probably just went to hell. But this other guy, he said he was whole. He was, because he believed in Jesus and turned back to worship and to give him thanks. And so this thing of ingratitude, gross ingratitude, is pretty bad. Somebody said it stops the ear of God, it shuts the hand of God, and it turns away the heart of God. So as believers, we should be very thankful. Unthankfulness is the greatest injustice that may be. It's a withholding from the great landlord of heaven and earth, his due, his debt. If you're not a Christian, if you haven't received Christ, you're an ungrateful person. If you know that he died for you on the cross, you never said thanks for dying for me. And that's what it is to believe in the Lord. You're like that one leper. You come back. "And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, and be ye thankful," Colossians 3:15. And of course, if you're not saved, you're a debtor to God. He paid off your debt for you. But if you won't give thanks and receive that payment, you will go ahead and pay for your own sin. But it has been paid for. You don't have to go to hell. If you do, it's your choice, because you are so proud to humble yourself before God, you won't do it. So the unthankful just think about themselves. These guys, these nine, hey, I'm cleansed. And they're out of there. Very ungrateful. And God knows, He notices that. And He calls him the one stranger. The one stranger. Interesting way. Let's see if there's some observations we can give. He said, to give glory to God. This one turned back and he gave glory to God. Verse 17, were there not 10 cleansed, but where are the 9 that are not found that return to give glory to God? When we're thankful, we're giving glory to God. Save this stranger. Probably wasn't Jewish. Who knows where he was from. But we give glory to God when we're thankful. And Christ had enough compassion to give them their request, but they didn't have enough gratefulness to turn back and say thanks. I have a story about a little girl. She went into an ice cream parlor to get some ice cream. And so she came up there, and the waitress was very snotty and rude and said, what do you want? And I said, well, I'd like a bowl of ice cream, you know. And she said, how much would it be to get a topping on it, something like that, some cherries or nuts or whatever. And the ice cream bowl was 35 cents. And she said, it'd be 15 cents extra, 50 cents. What do you want? He said, well, I'll just take a bowl of ice cream. And so she ate her ice cream. And when she left on the counter 50 cents. I figured that up. That was a little bit over a 40% tip. That little girl, instead of getting the extra things on there, gave that ungrateful, snotty waitress, rude and crude, something she didn't deserve. I hope we're not like that to God. The 9 had no feelings for the Lord. The waitress had no feeling for the little girl. And so this little lesson here is you and me. We have to understand that God has feelings. He's a person. We have to live grateful. So God can feel, Christ could feel. And so the 9 just got the temporary blessing. And that's the way a lot of people want to use God. And then they're mad at God if He doesn't do this or that for them. Something happens or whatever. And you know, it's not very good to just go through life all bitter. Why were they not grateful? Well, that's, I guess, the answer of life. They were just self-focused. And I'm going to share this amazing story with you. And I don't know who all started the story or whatever. But Tori was sharing this story out in Los Angeles. But the story goes like this. That many years back, you know it'd be many years back with Tori, there was a shipwreck up north of Chicago near the University of Northwestern University. And a lot of the students went out to help try to rescue people in this shipwreck out in the lake. And this one student rescued 17 people. He swam out, he brings somebody in. He swam out, he brings somebody in. 17 times he did that. And his name was Edward Spencer. And here's what he said. Did I do my best? Do you think I did my best? And they hauled him back to his room just exhausted. And he kept saying, did I do my best? Yes, Edward, you did your best. You saved 17 souls. Well, Tori was out in Los Angeles and he shared this story and somebody hollered out, Dr. Tori, Edward Spencer is here. And Tori said, Mr. Spencer, would you come up, please? And so this old white-haired man comes slowly up on the platform and Tori asked him this. He said, Edward, did anything in particular stand out to you in that incident of you saving those 17 souls. And he said, only this, out of the 17 people I saved, not one of them ever thanked me. Isn't that an amazing story? Well, the Lord Jesus, He feels. He feels. Another story in this area of ungratefulness. One man was telling another friend how he had one teacher that had introduced him to the poet Tennyson or whatever. And then he said, did you ever thank her? He said, well, no, I never even thought about it. He said, I will. I'll write her a letter. And so he wrote this teacher from years back and thanked her for introducing